We are going to be looking at some breaking news kind of themes here in these next few weeks. Some of them will happen in the morning, some will happen in the evening. And what I would like to do, though, before we get started, is just read to you something that I found rather, well, I just knew I had to bring it to your attention today. And it came from the location is Glendale, California. And this article that showed up says this: thanks to new laws, VeggieTales to introduce new cannabis character. Glendale, California. VeggieTales creators are celebrating the legalization of recreational cannabis use with a new character, Cannabis Carl. The character is a sign of progress in the United States, and it's made on its view of this controversial plant. Kids are ready for this, says DreamWorks executive Brian Jones, who is overseeing production on the current series. In his inaugural episode, Cannabis Carl will be at the border to the VeggieTales house property, trying to cross over to start a new life, only to be met by Pa Grape, who is out patrolling for illegal vegetables. After Pa Grape puts Carl in custody for being an illegal plant, Mayor Archibald passes a new law that Cannabis Carl is a legal citizen. Carl is welcomed by the VeggieTale cast as they sing a song about the old laws and the new covenants. What happened, people? There we go. Drawing a powerful parallel from Scripture that is easy for kids to understand. As the episode ends, Cannabis Carl helps Mayor Archibald with cure glaucoma in his right eye and ends up becoming roommates with Mr. Lunt, buying snacks at Pa Grape's store and living off the town's generous food stamp program. Mike and I have had this character in the back of our back pocket since college, Phil Vischer said at a press conference. America was not ready for Cannabis Carl then, but they finally come around. Bible college was a pretty crazy time for us, but eventually God uses all things to his glory, Fisher says. In the new episode featuring Cannabis Carl, it will be released on the newest Netflix VeggieTales series entitled VeggieTales in the Haze. Cannabis Carl will debut with his song, God Made All the Plants, Dude, and will be voiced by actor and director Kevin Smith, who is a devout Christian. Now, lest you think that this was some cleverly designed picture that Jan created in Photoshop and created this thing, this is the picture that's with this article. Now, I don't know what goes on in your mind. Maybe there is this uneasy laughter. Maybe there's a shock. Maybe it's disappointment. Really? VeggieTales? We had to go there with VeggieTales? What happened? Why is all this out there like that? And maybe there's a disbelief. Really? Now, maybe some of you are saying, I'm not sure where we're going with this thing. I'm a little suspicious. Something doesn't sound just quite right. You've got that natural, I don't know, prove it to me, look. But this is on the website. You can go find this. This is not something I created. Not the story, not the picture. BabylonBee.com. And some of you know Babylon Bee. That's a satire site. And they put articles out there poking fun at us from an evangelical perspective. These guys know what they're doing, and they're trying to evoke a response. But let me tell you, this thing came into my sister's feed, and she didn't know Babylon Bee at all. And so she's reading through this thing and was convinced, oh, are you really, really? We need it in VeggieTales. And what we banged right into here today, folks, and forgive me for just putting it out there for you to let you kind of sort through it, is one of those things in our culture right now. It's been since the last election cycle. We've got a new phrase. We call it fake news. Fake news happens in a lot of different ways, but one of those ways it happens is by satire sites putting something out there that someone doesn't recognize as satire, and they assume it's true. And it gets the reaction that the people that are writing care to make. Maybe a surprising action. That's not the only way, though. There's another way that people put out fake news. And that's by replicating as best they can a legitimate source, a legitimate website. They might change the logo, but they're going to get it pretty close. Very little telltale signs there, easy on the first look that this is not accurate. And what are they doing? Often by third parties. Like, there are fake ABC news sites. And what are they trying to do? Make it look like you're really at the right spot. And they'll put out information designed to get a response out of the reader, one way or the other. Now, they aren't functioning under the umbrella of the organizations that's legit. And then there's a third one that comes in that says, I'm presenting you truth, and you're going to assume it's true, like I'm assuming it's true, but we have to be careful about how that looks, what it looks like. Now, here's one of those things. We've got the morning news here, Bible in the corner there, and we see this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. My question to you, is that from the Bible or not? Oh, some of you said no pretty quickly and audibly. But there are principles in Scripture. If a man should not work, neither should he eat. So we get the potential for being drawn in by that way, but that really isn't from the Bible. In fact, 1757, Benjamin Franklin gave us that in Poor Richard's Almanac. But then, that's one example. How about this one? This one says, the Lord works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Is that in the Bible? Maybe. Wait, my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and your thoughts. There is something that rings true. But this was an 18th century hymn writer, William Cowper, that penned these words. But I've heard that very thing quoted in this building, in this room, just talking with people. It sounds like it's there. How about this one from the book of Proverbs? A fool and his money are soon parted. If you believe that that came from the book of Proverbs, you've missed it again. 1573, Thomas Tusser and 500 Points of Good Husbandry penned that. That sounds really close to Proverbs. Truly, any reading about 1 Corinthians 13 and other passages would indicate that charity begins at home is indeed a biblical concept. That's got to come from the pages of Scripture. And the answer is, once again, no, it doesn't. No, this was a Roman comic writer. He included it in something about the time some Scripture was being written, but it was never part of the pages of Scripture in any translation. But it's well known. And then we've got this, cleanliness is next to godliness. No, it's not there. Although I think some parents would want to quote some of these things to their children. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and then come to the table. No, that's not in there either. But where did this come from? This came probably from Francis Bacon, who wrote, in The Advancement of Learning, cleanness of body was ever deemed to proceed from a due reverence to God. And so they just condensed all that down. Cleanness of body was ever deemed to proceed from a due reverence to God. You know what? So none of those were in there. I should probably tell our younger audience members here today, that is supposed to represent a former way of communication to people. It was a newspaper. and they had those banners across the top, and they came, and in the old days, they were bigger than they are now, and they were thicker, and they would actually pay young people to go around and physically put this in a mailbox or at the doorstep, and you had to pay for this service to be done there, and that's how information was exchanged once in the old days. And we don't have that anymore. Oh, and then the other telltale sign that this isn't true is 50 cents. Yeah, that doesn't happen for a long time. And I remember being one of those guys that hated Sunday mornings because before church I was delivering thick papers. The advertisements and the comics and all of that stuff went in there. At any rate, here's my point in this. Why are we going here? Because there are varying degrees of impact. What happens if you believe some fake news about the VeggieTales? Not much. I'm going to go look on Netflix. I don't see it anywhere. It's not there. No harm, no foul. I can't find that. Where's this Cannabis Carl guy? I don't see him in any play set for kids. Maybe they slow down production. You know, we got these things, and it never shows up. Minimal impact. But we could have those that are trying to change your opinion about something, so you'll change who you vote for in an election because of how things are laid out there for you. Or there is a high level if you believe something that isn't true. It can be life-altering if you believe that. So we're bringing that thought into these next few weeks where we're going to have a chance to look at some of the scriptures and some of our ideas that we think came from scripture, and we're going to have to separate them, pull away what our impressions are of God's statements to us from reality that way. And we're going to have to ask ourselves the question, does the Bible really say that? Statements under consideration. God will not give me more than I can handle. Is that really in the Bible? Do we know that God said that? How about this one? God knows there are some sins that I just can't overcome until he calls me home. You know, what God really wants for me is just, as a child of his, to just follow my heart. If I am following God, then I can just follow my heart. And here's another one that sometimes gets brought in, that time heals all wounds. Now, we're going to take a look at some of these in the morning, some in the evening, but we'll cover these topics. But today's question, statement, I should say, that we're going to question is this. But God really wants me to be happy, and I'm going to say, does he really want us to be happy? Of course, you're going to assume that I'm going to challenge that thought. You're with me. That's right. But if we're challenging this, I've got to say, and this is fake news, how in the world did it land on us? Where did we get such an idea that God wants us to be happy? Is that contrary to Scripture? Well, let's think about it from a couple different vantage points. All right. You can follow along because this is in the bulletin insert there. But the next slide or next part would come up there and say human experiences. What do I mean by human experiences? If it would be through these natural ways. We want to surprise our kids. We love it when they're happy. We like to see them overjoyed when good things are happening to them. That's kind of a universal experience. Not that everybody did, but everybody understands that. Some here today probably had home lives that weren't like that. But I know I benefited from parents that tried to make some days special for me that way. And the idea of human experience shows up in a lot of different ways. I remember the time Sue and I grabbed suitcases, packed them for the kids. The kids were at school. And we went to get them on that Friday afternoon, I think it was, maybe a Thursday. But anyway, we were taking them out of school early. And they didn't know where we were going or what we were doing. This was all a surprise to them. So we get them out of, first off, we already won credit because we got them out of school. And then we put them in the vehicle, and of course, mom and dad are both there. What's up here? We don't know what's going on. And then we show them, okay, we got some stuff packed in the back end of the van, and the suitcases are there. My toothbrush and pajamas, all that kind of stuff is in there. And then we say we're going on a overnight trip thing, and they were surprised. It was fun for us to do that as parents. It's a natural thing that we want to do that way. We, as parents, enjoy being happy and overjoyed and surprised. And sometimes God puts those things in our life that way. Do you know, Sue and I have been privileged to take two trips that we didn't pay for? One to the Bahamas, one to Hawaii. How does that happen? That God made it possible through friends. Not even the same time. I mean, they're just different people that wanted to do something and made it possible for us to join them. I'm telling you what, that was amazing. And so we come through our human experiences saying, but God does do things to make us happy or blesses us that way. And we love it. And it's logical. I can argue it from that point. It's logical for this to happen because here's what I find. If our Father in heaven is there and he calls us his children, God is way better at being a father than I am as an earthly guy. So it only makes sense that he wants us to be happy. We also have this other experience, biblical verbiage. I'll get the word out. And what do I mean by that? No, there are actually phrases in Scripture. Matthew, Jesus is talking to his disciples and others that are there at the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you all things to the, or give good things to those who ask of him?" Earthly fathers know how to do this. He says, are you going to give your son or daughter a stone if he asks for a loaf of bread? No, it's not going to happen. Your father is way better than that. You like giving good gifts to your kids? Can I go down memory lane one more time? Our kids, boys, really, really, really wanted a Super NES system. That wasn't on the front end. It was out for a little bit, but we didn't have one. And they really wanted that, and I said, you better start saving your money, kids, because it's not in our budget to do that. It was well over $100, I don't know what it was. All right, they're going to do that, and I think Andy might have been 9 or 10 at the time, maybe 11, not any older than that. So they decided they're going to pool the resources, and they do. In fact, at one point, I think Andy found $20 in a public area, mall, something, whatever, and we took it in to see if anybody lost that, and they waited a time and then said, no, nobody's claimed it, you can have it. So they were putting that in the funds they had, and after they compiled the resources between the three brothers and they're going after this big project, they probably had about $24.39. After the $20 bonus they had. And they just said, this is going to take forever. Well, it came to Christmas, and Sue and I decided, we're going to find a sale, do the best we can, and that was our gift to them. They opened that up, and the boys cried. They were so excited. Yeah, that got us too. And part of it was they knew this was like way more money than they ever had. They were so grateful. That was cool. And so then I look at this and say, well, but we want to do this for our kids. Doesn't it make sense that God wants us to be happy? We can call right into this thing, and we've got these verses in Scripture. And here's some more. James 1:17. I don't know if I've got all these in your you can jot them down if you want, but this one just says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Psalm 84:11. If you want to jot Psalm 84:11 down, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Psalm 16:11, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The psalmist writes that there. Psalm 37 says, he'll give me the desires of my heart. So we've got these phrases. We got biblical text in here. It's logical. And then we say, but wait a minute. Is that really the driving point in all of this? You're going to tell me this is fake news? How can it be fake? How do I know if I'm being drawn into such a thing that way? And I think there are a couple of ways you can determine that. One is if you find yourself defending your actions with your friends, especially those who are believers. If you find yourself kind of rationalizing and defending what you're thinking and what you're doing as, well, this has got to be okay with God, pay attention. If you got a believing friend that's challenging you, you might want to slow down a bit before getting so dogmatic on, but God wants me to be happy. I think we often have a twisted version of 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as he who has called you is happy, so also you also be happy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be happy for I am happy. Do you know that verse? It's not in the Bible. But we got this idea that maybe that's what God wants. And if God wants me to be happy, then I'm free to chase anything that isn't illegal. I know I can't be violating the laws of the land, but God wants me to be happy. So that opens up a whole bunch of activities that are there. And then we come back to this idea that if God wants me to be happy and I'm not happy, If I'm unhappy, then God is unfaithful. We can get there. I'm not happy, but God wants me to be happy. God violated his statements. That doesn't seem right. The very next one is, if God wants me to be happy and I'm not, then I can pursue it any way I want. If I want a bigger house with nicer furnishings, then I can get them. If I want to shed all the trappings that come with traditional employment, I want to just kind of quit my job, take my resources, and go travel the countryside or the world without any thought to anything else, because that'll make me happy, then I could do that without even batting an eye. If I am lonely, I can do whatever I want with whomever I want to alleviate the loneliness. Because, see, if God wants me to be happy, then I'm going to be able to do whatever I want that makes me happy. Kids, if I don't like my teacher this year, I don't have to do the work assignments that they're asking, at least not at the level that the teacher wants, because that doesn't make me happy. If I'm absolutely thrilled with the job I have, I don't have to give any thought about life on the home front or on the church front. I don't have to worry about that because I got the job I want. This is my dream job. Or if I'm absolutely thrilled with my new baby, my new wife, my new husband, I don't have to give any significant thought at all about my neighbors or my coworkers or my church ministry involvement, because those things don't make me as happy as my family does. You see what happens when we start saying God wants me to be happy? And then I'm free to do whatever I want. So we're going to back this down a bit and say, all right then, if that is really true, then what is true regarding God's desires towards me? Well, I'll put it this way. I'm sure that God does not desire our happiness when we are pursuing something that is sinful or stupid. What is unwise? That's the Bible word. Sinful or stupid? God doesn't care about our happiness in that regard. See, when I quoted that verse from 1 Peter a while back here, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, he's concerned about holiness more than my happiness. It takes me back to one of my favorite books on marriage. It's called Sacred Marriage. And the subtitle of that is, What If God Designed Marriage to Make Me Holy More Than to Make Me Happy? Didn't want to think about that. Nobody, when they're getting married, naturally says, boy, the real reason why I'm stepping into this marriage commitment is because I know I am not a holy person at all, and I'm counting on my mate to bring this out so I can work on it. Somehow that's strangely absent in our focus at those wedding times. I didn't ask John Wilhorn if I could say this. Bethany, I owe him $2, won't I? Yep. I got a deal. If I bring up an illustration from home and I don't clear it ahead of time, it costs me money. I would be richer if I follow that rule. John and Donna, 57 years of marriage. And I said, okay, John, this is in our ABF. What is it that made your marriage last 57 years? And he said, it is Christ. But what he said after that was just as revealing. He said, I didn't know when I made that marriage commitment what it meant. I wasn't even a follower of Christ then. But afterwards, I learned that that vow that I made was as much to God as it was to my wife. I said, that's pretty insightful. You make those marriage commitments and then it shows up in your life. And that's why I said, holiness is on God's docket much more than our happiness. And God uses marriages, he uses relationships, he uses work environment because he wants us to be holy, not consumed with our own happiness that way. God does not, I'm going to revisit a passage that Pastor Zach had us in previously, just last week. And the amazing part was, he didn't know that I was going to be in this section, and I didn't know he was going to get to 1 John from John 17, but we both have the same spot, and let's go revisit it again. Because not something sinful and not something stupid. God doesn't want that. Here's what it says in 1 John 2. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Looking out for number one. That means I don't get enthralled with the world's stuff, what it has to offer. It means I don't get stuck on the world system the way they say I'm going to be happy. I can't do it. Happiness that way is not going to bring happiness. It doesn't. The instructions are clear. Don't mess around with the world's stuff as the basis, the foundation for this. There are so many other verses that I could reference in this. If we are going after the temporal, earthly things, we are going to be just miserable. We are going to be miserable. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of the heart. You can't just lop off the last part and say that's God's promise. Because when I delight in the Lord, it shifts my desires. Now, let me illustrate it this way. Let's cover everything from the nasty, not acceptable sin to something that we would probably say it's not that big of a deal. Some of us know the pull of pornography. Statistically, a whole bunch of us do here today. And it hits men, and it hits ladies, and it hits older men, and it hits younger men, and older ladies, younger ladies. It hits people. And we say, that's not good. That's wrong. And then we've got other things. Like, let's say we look to solve whatever's going wrong because we take comfort in food. We enjoy that. And I don't care where you are on that struggle of whatever issue. My point is this. For the one who is struggling with food, you are here today, sitting here, we're singing, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Yeah, that's the way I feel, Lord. And I don't see anybody horsing down a bag of chips right now. Nobody's hauled out their sandwich or cheesecake or whatever your favorite food is. Well, it's not, this isn't the place for it. No, I think there's more to it than that. Even those who are struggling with pornography addictions aren't messing with it right now. Why is that? Because our minds are focused on who Jesus is. It's on the Word of God. And of course, we aren't distracted with that stuff because our minds are right here singing and encouraging one another. And so do you see, you delight yourself in the Lord and then your desires are shifting. You're not gravitating to the things that disrupt harmony with God. And then we get done here and then we go out and get up and go through the work week and we say, ha, oh, boy, I'm struggling in this area. If your struggle is anger, nobody's punching anybody right now because your heart is here. And that the point of Scripture is you want happiness. It comes from delighting in the Lord. And there are other ones as well. Psalm 147, verse 11, has this. God takes pleasure in those who fear and hope in Him. It's an obvious set of circumstances. Now, these aren't in the Scripture, or in your printed notes here, but they are in the Scripture here. When Jesus was talking to His listeners about that whole, which of you want to give your son a stone instead of a piece of bread? Prior to that, He says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. You don't have to be anxious about what's coming. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Your Father in heaven knows all these things. Just think about my plan. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't be anxious that way. This other passage that I've been memorizing and meditating on from Jeremiah 17. I just shared it with our Awana workers the other night. But here's what it says in this section. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the streams. And we read that and say, wait a minute, blessed is the man who the tree. That sounds like Psalm 1. Oh, yeah. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he does meditate day and night. We got that. What's blessed? Blessed means, oh, the happiness of, oh, the bliss. How happy is the man who does this? Oh, so there is some place for God wanting us to be happy. You want to be happy? Jeremiah says, happy, how happy. Oh, the bliss for the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is going to be like a tree planted by the stream that shoots out roots to the water. And it goes on to say, it doesn't matter when the heat comes, the leaf remains green. When the drought comes, when there's no other rain falling, it's going to continue to bear fruit. Why is that? It's not on the circumstances. It's not what's not going right or not going right. It's on where you tapped into. We say, God wants me to be happy. Let's use our imagination. I'd have you close your eyes, but I really don't want to go that far with the imagination. I create an image. If you've ever been in a spot like this, you could say, ha-ha. The temperature setting, by the way, in my imagination, is about 84. And there is this breeze that's blowing, and it's warm. It's not chilling. And that sand, although it is hot, the temperature's high, it's not hot to walk on. That white sand is incredible. And the water is just as blue as it looks in that picture. That looks better than my front yard. Way better than my backyard. Come to think of it, it looks way better than you do. Right now. We can go there and say, oh, that is sweet. Now, let's go pull a fish out of that water. Flop that fish in that chair. Would that fish find it just as comfortable as we would? Mm-mm. Oh, I know what we're missing. Let's put a bag of cash right there, right next to the chair. Now, does that make any difference for the fish? Not at all. Not at all. Why? The fish wasn't designed for that. That appeals to you and me because that's our design. A fish will not survive that way. The very picture that we're wrestling with is, I'm going to use Pastor Zach's illustration from last week. He talked about it in this term. You ever put diesel in a gasoline engine? It's not going to work. It wasn't designed for that. What were we designed for? Not earthly, temporal happiness. We're designed for eternity. And so it makes sense that when we're designed for eternity, the statement that we really conclude with isn't God wants me to be happy, but we have to add the phrase, God wants me to be happy in Him. We were made for eternity. You think something in this world is going to make you happy, and there will be an end life to it that is quick. That's the way it is. Why do the addictive behaviors continue? Because the person caught in that thinks, I'll get a measure of relief for what I'm feeling. I'll go after and be able to achieve what I want. And it happens maybe for a second or two or three or five. Sometime in the very action, there is this repulsion. This is not working. Why? Because we were designed for eternity. We were designed to have a relationship with Christ. We were not designed to be satisfied with temporal happiness, chasing things. God gives us some blessings along the way. That's not what drives us. Now, you will never find a more clearer worldview difference than resolving this question of, but God just wants me to be happy. He doesn't want me to be unhappy, lonely, dissatisfied, whatever thing you put on there. Use the whole statement. That's our point. Father, we are so grateful for the clarity of your word. Sometimes we can be caught, even by our brothers and sisters in Christ, to adapting a concept from your word so that it fits our lives. I pray that we would do some heart searching, that we would walk with you, that we would be attentive to your word, that we would delight in you. At your right hand, that position, our pleasures forevermore. When we delight in you, we are given the desires of our heart. You've never designed us to be happy with what this world offers. Not truly happy. Not a contentment that lasts for eternity. May we sort our lives as soon as we see the next commercial on TV, on our screens, or radio. Make us alert to what we see in the stores around us. Make us alert to what we see happening in our friends. Lord, I pray that we would be wrestling through this at a very personal level. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.